Welcome back to another episode of Consciously Clueless. I'm your host, Carly, and here we break down complex issues around health, the climate crisis, and social justice through a vegan lens. We'll talk about the magic link between your well-being and the planet's health, because luckily, choosing a healthier, mindful lifestyle for yourself often creates healthier vibes for our planet, too. Staying consciously clueless means getting to show up knowing nothing, but staying open to all that you can learn. From feasting on plant-based meals and reducing waste to learning to meditate, every step you take contributes to your wellness and makes systematic change for the world. You can make a difference. This podcast will show you how. Let's talk about Earth Day. If you are listening to this, well, I'm glad that you are. And a reminder that every solo episode that comes out once a month is also available on Patreon in video format. So you could be watching this right now. If you would like to, go to patreon.com/consciouslycarly. There are other benefits over there. There's more bonus content from Consciously Cannabis episodes. Guests and I will toke up at the end of an episode together sometimes. That content goes there. There's other cool stuff there for mindfulness, and yeah, I just think you should check it out. So, patreon.com/consciouslycarly. Let's get into Earth Day. This is going to air before a few days before Earth Day 2024, so I thought it would be a good idea to dive in a little bit to the history. If you need a refresher or if you don't know the history of Earth Day, talk a little bit about what's going on now, and go from there. So, first of all, Earth Day. How did we get Earth Day? It became nationally recognized in the U.S. in 1970, but there were decades before that of people that, of course, like grassroots, boots on the ground, organizers that were saying there are problems with the amount of pollution we're putting out. We are industrializing and XYZ, look at the water, look at the land. And so those conversations were growing. And then in 1962, a woman by the name of Rachel Carson published a New York Times bestseller called Silent Spring. It was a really big moment as it pushed the conversation about the environment and the links between pollution and public health into more people into more people's minds, into their consciousness. So that was a big moment that then catapulted that momentum that was growing from, of course, people who have been saying, hey, let's take care of the planet since the beginning of time. And it pushed it more to the public eye. So then in 1969, a senator from Wisconsin, Gaylord Nelson, who was worried about the environment, witnessed a massive oil spill in Santa Barbara, California. And so, inspired by the student anti-war movement, which I think is important, the senator wanted to infuse the energy of student anti-war protests with an emerging public consciousness about air and water pollution. So guess what? It was actually protest and pushing back that inspired Earth Day, like many of these things in social change, right? So Senator Nelson announced the idea for a teach-in on college campuses to the national media, and he even got this conservation-minded Republican congressman to join him, so there was more buy-in from a political standpoint. Then the senator recruited an activist, Dennis Hayes, and Dennis helped to organize the campus teach-ins and help bring the idea to a broader public. They chose April 22nd. This is how student-focused it was. They chose April 22nd, a weekday falling between spring break and final exams, to maximize the greatest student participation. So they were literally saying, we want students to be driving this, and we are depending on them. We're even going to pick the date of when this is becoming a thing based on them. So recognizing this potential to keep this movement going, that activist then built a staff of 85 to promote these events across the country and eventually leading to global influence as well. They changed the name to Earth Day, and it increased conversations And as surveys of people living in the United States went on for years, the growing concern after Earth Day was clear that that catapulted it into the minds of people that just did not have it top of mind. And a lot of that is privilege, right? If you're not experiencing the effects, it's pretty easy to ignore them. So that's a brief history of Earth Day, which I just love learning about the history of these movements, and I think it's so important because that is all about students, baby. That is anti-war. That is protesting. So many movements get watered down, and sometimes I get cynical about something like Earth Day because of that commodification that's happened, right? It gets watered down from this grassroots anti-war protest-inspired movement to buy a water bottle and you're good, right? Now, I'm not saying not to use your reusable water bottle or that those things aren't important, but I think you understand here. We've talked on the podcast before with guests and some of my solo episodes about this idea of greenwashing and this idea of taking people's real concerns about wanting to do better for the planet and using marketing to sell things that they think are aligned with that often aren't. And I think some of that has happened with Earth Day, right? It gets lost from the origins. Like so many movements don't talk about how the be or you don't hear about, I guess, how the beginning of that movement really was a protest, not just a, can I please have more rights? Can we please care about the planet? Can we please not go to war? It was a protest, right? And to me, learning about this and being reminded of this is a really good reminder when it does feel like you can't do anything or that the problems are so big that you might not be able to affect change. And I get that sentiment. But remember how people in power want us to be tired. It's really convenient for everyone who would want to push back against systems of oppression to be exhausted and to be too tired or to think that they can't actually affect change in the world. That's really convenient for people who are exploiting the land and the animals and the human beings on it, right? So it's a reminder that look at this group of students, look at this one senator who was like, I gotta do this. Look at him tying in an activist and saying, can you help me with this? There are so many individual choices here that led to it becoming a recognized movement that you can see in legislation catapulted some of the environmental protection laws and agencies that we have now because of the movement that happened out of Earth Day, which is really, really rad and shows some of those far-reaching effects, right? And so I think this is a good moment to remind you that if you're not directly involved in politics yourself in office or serving as a politician, please, please, please contact your reps. I got this, if you're watching, I will show you this pamphlet in the mail from Conservation Minnesota. And it said, how did your legislators vote on conservation? And I thought it was such a good example when I was thinking about this episode of the direct impact when you feel like, what can I do sitting here in the Midwest of the United States about the war across the world, about Gaza, about Congo, about Sudan, right? And one, you can help change systems that impact those far-reaching global catastrophes and genocides. And there are also benefits in your local political choices. People get really apathetic about the systems because, you know, they're really messed up, obviously. But the effects for the people around you in making sure to understand what's going on, like there was a, let's see, a vote yes in passing funding to remove toxic lead service lines. and toxic lead water lines. Like, that's really important. And that was because people locally were pushing for that and pushing until legislators in their area were unable to ignore them, right? There's also about banning toxic chemicals in household products. That's amazing. And there's more, there wasn't a full unanimous vote on this. This is for Minnesota, about Minnesota's energy being carbon free by 2040. So it is a reminder that contacting your reps, it doesn't have to be hard, truly. I have a reminder right now to email my reps about calling for a ceasefire in Gaza every day. It's a thing I check off on my checklist. And we could do that for a lot of different things, because despite how much there is to do, giving up is just too convenient for everyone who's already flourishing off the exploitation. I just can't do it. So just a reminder to actually contact the people locally or for your state, wherever you are in the world, what your local representation in government is, and whether that's an email, whether that's an automated call, whether that's a letter, whether that's showing up to a meeting if you can. But even if you don't have the physical time to put in or go somewhere, contacting our reps and demanding the changes you want to see can have effects and create things like Earth Day that then creates these dominoes of legislation that hopefully help the planet, right? So I just want to remind you that when we learn about the origins of movements like this, remember how it started with a few people that cared. And it's so cliche, but it really does, right? There's a quote going around on Instagram that I really adore, and I've seen it for a long time, but, you know, it's the idea of, "I'm just one person," said 8 billion people. But it's so true. It's really, really true. So I wanted to share that with you, because as I was researching for this episode and thinking about this, I was just like, wow, what a good reminder of how these movements start and the power that individuals have in the fight for a better world in general, right? So given all that, does Earth Day matter? Did it do anything? Now, I mentioned the legislation, and there have been a lot of wild, far-reaching effects. You can go on their website and, let's see, I'll have all the resources I use for this episode will be in the show notes. That was from earthday.org itself in the history of its organization. You can see the global, far-reaching effects this call for attention on the planet has done, the projects it's inspired, and all of these things. So it has actually done a lot. And then there are, of course, critiques, right? Because it becomes commodified and it becomes whitewashed and it becomes this thing where we are buying our way out of the climate crisis versus worrying about pushing legislation and pushing for systems change instead of what we can individually buy ourselves out of. So there are definitely valid critiques. And I want to remind ourselves that caring for the planet or pushing for that voice to be heard didn't start on Earth Day 1970. And I think we know that, but some of the narrative gets put that way in terms of glossing over, commodifying, whitewashing the idea of Earth Day or any other movement and social change, really. But there have been peoples long before that caring for the earth, genuinely, indigenous peoples to the land, and warning and trying to protect this place. And that didn't start in 1970. Amazing work started then, but the idea of caring for this planet that we live on didn't start then. And I think that's important to recognize and to continue to recognize that it is an intersectional issue. If you care about the environment, then you also care about racism and sexism and classism and all of it. Which brings me nicely to the idea of going vegan. And is that connected to Earth Day? Because if you listened to the episode with sociologist Corey Lee Wren, really recommend checking it out, because my inner sociology major heart was so happy to chat with her. But we had such a good discussion from her standpoint as a PhD who is studying this work. Where is the disconnect between environmentalists and plant-based diets or going vegan? And I think it's a really interesting conversation. And there's a lot of critiques of the environmental movement and things like Earth Day that come along with it for, one, not being intersectional in general, but also not bringing in the conversation about food and about vegan living enough. And like Corey and I discussed in the episode, there's a lot of factors there. There's some of the human psychology and the cognitive dissonance that we really want to hold on to that I've talked about in past episodes as well. This idea that my dog is my pet and the cow is food and XYZ, that we can kind of separate all these things out instead of seeing them as all as beings. There's some of that. Money is a big part of it. Who is funding your environmental work? Is it people that want to attach themselves to this idea of veganism? Probably not for a lot of cases we've seen. So when we talk about Earth Day, I just can't help but want to make sure we bring up this conversation of veganism, because I don't think it's brought up enough. I'm not the first one to say this, but in the mainstream conversations, it's growing, but it's definitely still this thing that people in the environmental movement get a little bit like, I don't know, like I care for the planet, but is beef really that bad? And yeah, to be honest, it is. It actually is. It is really bad. The animal agriculture industry is really bad for our planet. So to talk about Earth Day and to not talk about that just feels inaccurate. I found this really cool resource on earth.org that has a list of 15 biggest environmental problems of 2024. I'm not going to go through all of them, but when you look through this list, you'll see things like food waste, biodiversity loss, plastic pollution, deforestation, air pollution, ocean acidification, say that 10 times fast, food and water insecurity, fashion textile waste. Episode 227 with Emily of the Lander Line, all about fast fashion and what you can do. Totally check that out. Overfishing. I mean, you can see and you can hear how many of these things on this list of the problems to be dealing with right now are related to the animal agriculture industry. And it's just silly. It's not the right word, but it feels silly to pretend that we can talk about caring for the planet without talking about the food that's on our plate or the products that we're creating from the animal agriculture industry. It's something that can't be disentangled. I thought this stat from the UN was interesting. If we all went vegan, scientists believe the world's food-related emissions might drop by 68% within 15 years, limiting global warming. Now, if I posted this as an Instagram reel, I'd have the trolls coming talking about how if we all went vegan, what would we do with all the animals? That's not going to happen. That's not how this movement is going to work. I would love that. I would love if tomorrow we woke up to a vegan world, but hey, here we are. And this is showing that extreme of what actually is contributing to the climate crisis and to global warming and switching to a plant-based agriculture. Look at the dramatic decrease in food-related emissions. It's wild. It's something you can't ignore, right? The Vegan Society has a great article about veganism and Earth Day and about how that there are so many applications of talking about Earth Day and the environmental movement and veganism itself when we're talking about usage of water and land use and the biodiversity loss. So much of this is driven by fossil fuel industries, the animal agriculture industry, and fashion industries. And transportation fits in there too, in terms of fossil fuels. It is wild how there are so many of these top polluters doing so much of the damage. And the people that are feeling that effect are people who are having this problem dumped on them. They are not contributing the most, but they are feeling it the most. And that is, for me, such a motivator to find what are ways to really do, like, big bang for my buck here in terms of my action. And that's not perfect. I'm never going to position being vegan as the perfect solution, because I think, what is perfection, right? That's a whole nother conversation. But it's a really damn good one. And if we want to talk about Earth Day, honestly, we have to talk about the food that we're growing on it. And a reminder that veganism is more than a diet. A plant-based diet is a part of living a vegan life. But in terms of what veganism is, it's not just food. It's, of course, such a big part. It's the part we talk about a lot. It's a big contributor to environmental damage, but it's also a lifestyle that's driven by ethics and that is trying to cause the least harm possible and to unravel systems of oppression that include humans, that include animals. It is more than just the food. But we talk a lot about the food, understandably so. But just a reminder, so that not only is this conversation about the earth, but when we bring in veganism, it's about compassion and the torture that we're not only doing to the earth, but to the living beings and the humans working in these conditions and all of it. So I just want a reminder, because I think that can be confusing for some people and the language gets used interchangeably, but a plant-based diet is a part of living a vegan lifestyle. So there are all these factors, and today I haven't really gotten into much of the animal rights side of it. I've done that in other episodes. I really want to focus on Earth Day and that environmental impact, because people come into veganism and come into these movements from different angles. I went vegan originally for my health. I started with plant-based foods, and then the dominoes kind of fell, right? As I had started to care about the earth, but it really catapulted me forward in a different way. But I went there for my health. It wasn't in the beginning for animals. It wasn't in the beginning for the environment. There are so many people that come into, especially with younger generations, research is showing, which I think is really cool because they're doing something, not cool because it feels like their responsibility. But younger generations are coming to veganism because of the environment. And that, I think, is a really good indicator in terms of looking to young people like the anti-war protesters from the beginning of this episode that helped inspire Earth Day. Young people know what they're doing. And in terms of fighting for a more just world, we see it again and again and again. And the fact that more and more young people are choosing that lifestyle is, I think, a really good indicator and inspires some hope. Definitely. So, Earth Day. If you love the planet, if you are wanting to celebrate Earth Day, there are so many things you can do. But honestly, I really just want you to think of it as every single day. And it's so cliche to say Earth Day is every day, but it is. It is if we want to survive living on this planet. It's gotta be every day. And thinking about something like going vegan is a choice you make every day and a lifestyle you live out every day. And there are a lot of other things you can do as well. That's not the only thing that you can positively do to impact the planet. There are so many sustainable lifestyle choices you can make, again, that have these ripple effects out to your community. You can do things personally that not only are more sustainable for the planet, but can save you time and money, like buying in bulk and making some of your own food or composting, buying less stuff in general. There is a lot you can do to celebrate. And there are some big things you can do too. Thinking about your travel, thinking about fast fashion, thinking about your food and your lifestyle choices. Don't forget the ripple effects that you can cause. And don't think it has to be perfect. If you are listening to this podcast and you are not vegan, that's amazing. I'm glad you're here because you're here to learn or you're curious. And we should all continue to learn and be curious about how to be better, no matter what label we already have. And if it feels like the idea of veganism is impossible to you, start with where you are. Start with some of your favorite meals and find out how to make them plant-based. The next time you go to the store and you're buying products, can you maybe take a minute or two to see if they're vegan or if they have a commitment to sustainability? It's not about perfection, even in the slightest, because that will burn you out. And if you're not taking care of yourself and you're burning yourself out, then you're not going to be very effective at making change either. So this Earth Day, I hope you find something that connects you to nature. If you have the privilege of being in a place where you get to do so, not everyone does. Connect to what other people are dealing with the climate crisis. If you want to do something this Earth Day, maybe find out if you are someone who's lucky enough to not be really feeling the effects, what's the reality for other people around the globe? That's really good knowledge to have. And when we learn about the reality and not ignore that, it can help us stay motivated when it sometimes feels like an uphill battle trying to be sustainable in an unsustainable world. So maybe you learn about the realities of what other people are feeling with the climate crisis if it's not something you're feeling. And we see how our choices then have those effects in other parts of the world. And don't give up. Please don't think that you cannot make a difference. It is just way too easy for people to exploit us if we're tired. So take care of yourself. And if you are celebrating Earth Day, let me know what you're doing. I will be at an Earth Day fair in my hometown talking about the podcast and going vegan and mindfulness and how it all ties in, it all matters. I want to hear from you. Do you like Earth Day? Does it feel like it's worth it? What are you doing for it? I want to hear from you. Let me know. And I will see you next time. If you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode of Consciously Clueless. And for that, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, tag me when you share on social media, or share this episode with others who may be interested in the topic. Any sharing truly means the world to me. Join the community at patreon.com/consciouslycarly for bonus podcast content like smoke sessions with Consciously Cannabis guests, video versions of solo episodes, monthly live calls, one-to-one support, more lifestyle content, mindfulness resources, and more. Until next time, stay consciously clueless.